comes down to safety on the streets. It's a real distraction to a lot of drivers and a real concern of mine, he said. Personally, I pray every night when we have these events that no one gets hurt. They are going right up to cars that are in a moving traffic pattern to collect $1, $2, or $20. At a previous council meeting, Hennekin acknowledged that the annual Fill the Boot fundraiser, which collects donations for the Muscular Dystrophy Association, set the trend. Since then, several nonprofits and high school sports booster clubs have held similar fundraisers to help offset the cost of events or athletics fees. The council voted 4-3 to postpone the ordinance until September 16th.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market. I'll meet you at the market. Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
The Tenenbaum Valley Farmers Market is open Wednesdays 11 to 4, Saturdays 9 to 4, all summer long. Come find the freshest Alaska-grown produce and the finest Alaska-made products. Come see us at the Tenenbaum Valley Farmers Market all summer long.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
If you're a shooter, you know that the one thing you always need more of is ammo. But with today's prices, you feel like you have to take out a second mortgage just to stay proficient. Well, not anymore, thanks to 907ammo.com. 907ammo.com is your locally owned and operated outlet for a wide variety of calibers at a great price. And if you live on the road system, delivered right to your door. Go to 907ammo.com right now and put it in the cart, pull the trigger, and see it on your doorstep in just a couple of days. 907ammo.com, the Last Frontier's online ammo delivered.
Thank you for listening to your local radio station. But stations like these might not be around for long. Last month in D.C., Republican senators cut radio funding, voting to end weather alerts, community news, and our way to stay connected. Rural America relies on radio, but Republican politicians left us behind. We can't trust them to fight for us. Paid for by the DSCC, DSCC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committees. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we're back on the air with Problem Corner. I'm your guest host today, Jennifer Juhas, and our guest on the air is Jim Kelly. We're talking about insurance, and we've been talking about the odd discovery that I made recently that, you know, life insurance doesn't just pay death benefits when you're gone. It actually pays for other things as well, including end-of-life care. And we've been talking about the types of insurance and what they do. And continue. You're walking us through LIFE, loans, income, funeral expenses, and then education or estate planning. You said that a lot of people will tell you, yeah, I don't need life insurance. And I've been one of those people, like, you know, but they get down to the estate planning and then they perk up. And you're talking about some new tax laws sunsetting and changing the amount. Alaska's a little bit different, but I know you're saying some states will take as much as half of what you were gifted. And Maryland is one of those.
Yeah, so definitely want to talk to an attorney and a tax attorney about this. But what our job in the insurance industry is to make sure we keep up with the moving target, and that moving target is the changing laws. We don't know what the rules of the game are going to be at any given time, except for what they are today. So we know what they are today. We don't know what they'll be in the future. They may have a prescribed sunset or a forecast on the political environment of where it might go, but ultimately we're gambling with our next generation's assets because we don't know what it's going to be.
So, and we're planning the best that we can. We're walking through what things need to be spent on, whether or not, you know, if you've been doing something with labor your whole life and your spouse goes, then, you know, how much longer can your body hold up? You might need to be retrained for something. You want to pay for your children's education or whatnot. We've been looking at the, you know, 10, 20, 30 year gamble. Well, you know, what happens when the tax man comes and we're planning on them taking 25% of it and now they're taking 50, then we've just gifted half of what we thought we were going to give.
Yeah. And the thing is with estate taxes is there's the planning is very important because the IRS has a 3-year clawback or look back that they can look back on.
It's the IRS. We'll say claw.
Yeah, that's right. So buying as much term is temporary insurance or you know.
Term is the gamble of thinking when you'll go.
If you go. Yep. Yeah. And then when you go would be permanent insurance, like whole life, universal whole life. There's different types of permanent insurance, but the type that you're referring to that can help with a living benefit, it's called. That living benefit is the cash value, and that cash account is either going to generate dividends for the insured or earn interest, and that grows in a tax-free kind of a tax shelter. So it's really, really important to kind of look at the allocation of your funds to make sure you're not overweighted in one area or another. It's kind of like if you've ever sat down with an investment advisor or sat down at work to figure out how your 401k is invested, it's really taking that piece of the pie and saying, okay, I'm this age. If I lost half or everything, how long do I have to recover? I mean, that's the question we need to ask ourselves as we're raising families and going through our careers is, if you look historically at where the market moves up and down, and how long it takes to recover from each of the downturns, can we recover from it? And when you're looking at end-of-life planning and gifting and just planning for your estate, life insurance becomes the most valuable tool in our arsenal.
I had just always assumed that because it's medical care, which is very expensive, but, you know, hospice or end-of-life or long-term care, I figured, well, that's health insurance, right? Because it's health, because there's nurses, because there's a you know, all this health stuff going on. And for me, it was a surprise to figure out, no, that's covered under life insurance policies often. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, so long-term care is a strange duck, and it's really it's kind of going to the wayside, like defined benefit packages. It's really tough to find a good long term care policy these days. Washington is toying with the forced tax off of their gross income, 2% just off the top, to pay for basically their Medicaid bill as a state. It's really getting ugly.
Because I would think the long-term gamble would be the older you are, the harder it is, the more high-risk activities you do, the harder it is. But, you know, if you're fairly healthy and young, then the gamble would be good that you wouldn't end up in long-term care.
Yeah, and the thing with long-term care is the criteria to access that money is very stringent. So you have to be in a dire situation. Like, not being able to feed, dress, or bathe yourself is pretty tough.
Correct.
And that's the only way to access the funds in those policies to actually pay for care. So we have a very dear friend that was sadly hit a moose, gosh, it's been 45 years ago, and he is not technically
qualified
for long-term care because he can still move his arms and still do his job. And he can't walk, and it's really a tough deal. But he's one of the living proof that even with some sort of long-term care coverage,
wah, wah.
Yeah. So the exclusions, the reason, like, all of us get frustrated with health insurance is it is a contract, and we are signing up for the coverage that it does provide. But life insurance has very few exclusions. Hopefully you're with a good company and you're investigating how the death benefit pays out, and if there's a waiver of premium for disability or sickness, that's an important factor too. So making sure that the policy satisfies itself if you get in a situation where you are disabled and can't work, but accessing the death benefit in a terminal situation or accessing the cash value to help pay for the long-term care needs. There's riders that you can buy that accelerate the death benefit prior to your death. And it's just really understanding the policy that you're buying and making sure that the coverage limits meet your actual
need. What would the difference be between my one friend who knows that they're terminal and has that type of insurance, you know, kicking in and end-of-life care for identified as end-of-life care? And separately, I had a friend 1 year younger than me. She was in great shape, had an aneurysm, lifting hindquarters, dressing out after a moose last year. And, you know, several of us are real good friends with this couple. And, you know, her husband had to be with her for the recovery. And it has been this long until she's, you know, so she had to have about a year's worth of rehab and in hospital care. Now, is that, where would that fit? Where the terminal, we know, sometimes is covered under this special type of life insurance that's waning, going away with the policies. But would that be strictly medical, that my friend with the aneurysm?
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately. And just understanding that your health insurance, it's generally a major medical. It's for specific injuries or sicknesses. And really, once you're able to take care of yourself, they wheel you to the front door and wave goodbye. So making sure that we have the proper care for disability insurance, that would be a major one for your friend that had the aneurysm. Some sort of policy that would kick in to replace her income while she's recuperating, that would be a disability policy. So what my strongest recommendation for listeners and for the community and my family and friends is go to your employer, sign up for as much coverage as they offer, life insurance, health insurance, disability. Sign everything
better
you can.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, because it's cheap, and there's no underwriting. You want to participate in what they're offering, and then if there's any way to secure your income past employment, whether it be with the retirement package. So a lot of people have choose this, and you get 100% of your retirement. Mm-hmm, choose this, you get a partial percent, but your spouse gets the rest for the rest of their life. Choosing the latter, the one where your income goes away when you die, you better have some life insurance in place to make sure that the lifestyle can sustain after the death. So we want to make sure that we have these hard conversations with our spouses and our children, because I can tell you from experience, when the tough conversations aren't had with our loved ones, it becomes very difficult after the death to sort through things, even
the
in
sorting.
The best financial situations.
And this has been a hard conversation. It's been a hard subject matter. We're going to take another sponsor break, and when we come back, we're gonna wrap up on a high note. And I really am grateful to you for coming on talking about these hard things, because we want people to be prepared. We'd rather have a hard conversation now that's hard and a little depressing to talk about than to have added grief later by failing to plan. And when we come back, we'll talk about some other types of obscure insurances that I wasn't aware. Maybe they're not even that obscure, but they're things that just the average consumer hasn't thought about until they're starting a business or getting a certification. We'll end up on a lighter note. So
more Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The road is where you make it with the Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek All-Terrain Tire from GCR. Rugged Trek's aggressive tread design delivers the off- and on-road performance you need and the look you want. Versatile with comfortable all-season ride and superior traction even on snow and ice. Take control of Alaska's driving conditions. For your light truck or SUV, buy your Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek at GCR. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Whether running a marathon or to the store, we all get aches and pains. Migraines, sports injuries, spasticity can really put a hitch in your getup. Osteopathic manual medicine can help. Treating children to grandparents, Drs. Malcolm and Wright and McKinley Sports Medicine have over 27 years combined experience. Dr. Malcolm is Fairbanks' only board-certified sports medicine physician. Dr. Wright is double board-certified. OMM, FDN, Botox injections, and joint restorative treatments are exclusively available at one location, McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 66. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 47 tonight, cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow, chance for showers, highs level off around 66. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We're back on the air with Jim Kelly with State Farm Insurance, my insurance expert. You know, I didn't call you on just to have an hour-long commercial for your business, but you can get a hold of Jim Kelly at State Farm Insurance. You probably got things in the mail from him. You send a lot of mail. You almost send as much mail as the NRA.
Yeah, I was told when I first started as an agent that because we don't have billboards in Alaska, uh-huh, that mail is our only billboard, but we've tried to really cut back in the last 3 years, and I know people are noticing that, but it really is sometimes the only way we can get in front of people.
But now you have other tools and technology that we didn't have. You know, we don't That's have right. billboards, but the pre-roll on YouTube, or things that geofencing people that are around something, you know, the ads pop up on your phone and things like that. With the mail, for years I used to tell NRA, quit sending me this stuff. And I asked the field reps, you know, why do they do this? And they said, well, you know, for the three of you that might threaten to quit your membership each year, we get two or three people that gift us $1 million in their will. And so you're going to get the mail.
Yeah.
But the mail aside, we're talking about other types of insurance that, just out of curiosity, one that you were just bringing up, the Wedding Crashers movie, and I did not realize that both of those folks had, I remember the movie, I'm going to go look it up, but they had been working as mediators. I do negotiation, mediation, and I was just recently researching some things. If you, to become a certified mediator, you then need to obtain insurance. And I thought, gosh, you know, what is that for? I guess it's for if someone sues you because they thought you weren't fair or you didn't follow the rules of good faith and failed to disclose something, I guess. But what are some of the types of insurances that the average consumer who doesn't have their own business, who doesn't have a certification, hadn't thought of before they change some, make some life changes? You know, my other half is a private pilot that got a Part 135 and has a business. So sure, you need business insurance, and sure, you need insurance on the assets, the plane and medical in case something happens. But there's other stuff out there. Private investigators need to be licensed in certain ways, but for most of the state they don't. But they do need to have, they need to be bonded. Who does that? What are some of the things that we wouldn't have thought about if we're starting a business, maybe?
Yeah, with insurance, I always recommend people just, I said this earlier, but just look at the total loss scenario. So what is the worst case that could happen in this scenario? And with driving a car, it's really plowing through an intersection, family of five is T-boned and nobody goes home. I mean, that is the worst case scenario.
We can replace the metal.
That's right. Yeah, just making sure your limits match your risk. And with insurance, it is a contract. So you're actually signing and agreeing that is the limit of the policy. So if you're running around with state minimum liability, $50,000 per person, $100,000 per accident, and $25,000 for property damage, you're legal. But is it enough to cover what you could cause?
You could still
damage?
Lose your house if you were at fault for something.
That's right. Or years and years and years of your income. We have a really good friend who's actually a State Farm agent as well. And when he was really early in his career, he was driving in Seattle and somebody cut him off and clipped the front of his vehicle. And the guy hit his head and lost his job, got a divorce. It just like snowballed into this tragedy, and he's still paying out of pocket, and thankfully he had an umbrella policy, so the he's getting coverage for this terrible accident that he felt wasn't his fault. But
Well, I knew some people in my 20s, was friends with a large family, and watched them go through an auto accident issue where they were both involved in the auto accident, and the person driving their insurance had to cover for someone else's injuries, but that person's basically got lifetime chiropractic out of their brother-in-law, who's stuck on the hook paying for this because he didn't have the high enough limit. And I'm not just trying to sell insurance here on the radio, but that's caused, knowing that has caused some familial discord, I would say, when I was asked, kind of voluntold, but asked if I would lend my car to the sister-in-law who has children in it for a whole month. And I said, well, no, for 10 days. And the family kind of thought, you know, why are you being so persnickety about this? And I said, well, for several reasons. My insurance says that I can have an incidental driver for 10 days. You can have the car for 10 days. You can't have it for a month. You can't take it to tow. And you know, I was running through these scenarios that, you know, I wasn't trying to be I wasn't trying to be a problem, but I said, well, this is the parameters. This is my boundary. You can drive my car for 10 days while you're here, but you can't have it for the whole month. You've got two young children. What if something happens and it is your fault and it's on day number 11? I'm going to be paying this forever.
Yeah, it's a tough conversation to have, but just knowing your limits and knowing your exposure like you did and setting boundaries that you're comfortable within. Because ultimately, when we lend our car, we're lending our insurance. And if we borrow a car, we're borrowing insurance. And that does get ugly. And
my policy says you have 10 days. Yeah. Other than that, I'd be happy to rent you a car from Avis for the rest of your trip. But it has to be under your name.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other types of insurance, you know, just looking for looking for the what-if scenario. And you don't want to live in fear or be insurance poor, but you just really want to sit down with your family and your insurance agent and review your policy limits to make sure that if the unthinkable happened, that you have the coverage to take care of the situation. And sadly, a lot of our policies don't have the limits they should. And when tragedy comes knocking,
Or a person might not be able to qualify for the limits that they want.
Yeah.
You know, and then we also have some unique statutes in Alaska. I was in an ATV rollover last summer, and then it was for work, and there was a issue where the employer didn't have workers' comp, which is kind of a big deal, and they had recommended going after the person who had been the guide for the ATV. And I said, you know, I'm not doing that. Two, go read some statutes because we have an inherent risk clause and it actually lists in here ATVs. You're not going to recover. I do not have the resources to go try to sue someone for a losing case. And it's just, it isn't covered.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it becomes pretty, we have personal responsibility, and that's ultimately the end of the story in a lot of those cases, whether we're pilots or any outdoor situation. So it is the inherent risk of just being in our great state and then buying as much insurance as we can to mitigate the downside risk for our loved ones.
So,
really,
of course, we all want to be covered to the greatest extent possible. We also want the best vehicle we can afford. We want, you know, the best house we can afford. But we do have limits, and so we have to pick and choose. What are some things that homeowners don't necessarily think of here in Alaska? There's a type of insurance that someone can get. I know that a few of my friends have lived near a blighted property, and you know, they've been stuck with resources for either the borough or the state or DC and what everybody can do. I recommended in one instance, because I had talked to the homeowner, I said, you need to get your insurance company involved because your insurance company can do something about your neighbor who has legit hazmat leaking into your yard that can pose a risk to your property. You know, get a hold of your insurance company.
Yeah, I think documenting and just making sure that you have awareness of what's surrounding you. So an easy example to think of is, you know, your neighbor has a big tree and the tree is definitely might fall on your house. Well, that's an act of God, and we can't really place blame on anyone for acts of nature. Act
what
of
about
God.
The neighbor who tries to remove the tree and makes a mistake and it falls and dents your roof?
Right. Right. So the other side of that is if it's a healthy tree and there's no other reason for it falling other than act of nature, act of God. If the tree has obvious illness, you know, like it's a sick tree, it's dying.
My other half is a forester. He can say that tree's alive, that tree's dead, just by looking at them.
That's right. Yeah, being able to just identify trees that are putting your house at risk, and just notifying your neighbors if it's on their property, notifying the borough, notifying the city, putting it on title that there's a risk for your property, and then when that tree does fall. Because ultimately, I mean, it's up to the specific insurance company, but generally when a tree falls on your house, it happened to my cousin, it came right through the middle of his garage, it's his insurance, even though it was his mm-hmm. neighbor's tree.
Right.
And the reason is, well, it was an act of God. It's like not the neighbor's fault.
Right.
And the only way you really can place fault is if you have a paper trail of proof that says, no, this tree was definitely dying, it should have been better kept. And it wasn't, it was neglected, and then there's the negligence. But
one I'm thinking of is there was a fire next door to someone, and that house was not didn't undergo abatement for 3 years, and there's things there next door, you know, being rained on and snowed on and in the summer leaching over. Another house was someone who had some mental illness and had not their water had been turned off, and so there was certain things that happen when people don't have water that were being stored in that yard that ended up migrating under the fence.
Being aware of where you are in your property and looking at your insurance policy and making sure you know the limits and exclusions, because there's generally protections for the insurance company to exclude them from that type of exposure. That's generally written in there. But look at it, get some eyes on it. Like you said, get them involved so that they can help where they can.
Well, I've appreciated having you on and just seeing you again. It's been a minute since we've talked, and we've only got a couple minutes left here. I want to thank you for coming on. And what is one last piece of wisdom, and then what are you going to do with fall outdoor season?
Yeah, so my recommendation for everyone is make an appointment with your insurance company, review your policies, ask questions. The worst time to ask the questions and finally be interested and curious is at the time of a claim, because there's where the surprises are. So get ahead of it. It doesn't have to be doomsday or a terrible thing. Just set an appointment, get in there, ask for it to be explained. Just make sure that you share with your loved ones what the limits are, where the beneficiaries are, make sure that everything's in good order, and please reach out if I can help in any way.
You've been very respectful of just coming on, being a guest, and answering questions, but I will put in a plug that Jim Kelly sells State Farm Insurance, and he can be found online, and you can get a hold of him if you don't have your own insurance agent already. And what are you going to do this fall with the family?
Yeah, so five other guys and I are headed out somewhere west of here, and hopefully see a moose or two.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Jim.
Thank you.